Blog Talk Radio.
Americans who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, are much less likely to be religious than non-LGBT Americans, according to a Gallup poll. Just less than half of LGBT Americans say religion is important in their daily lives, compared with about two-thirds of non-LGBT Americans. 40% of non-LGBT adults identify themselves as highly religious, compared with just 24% of the LGBT adults. LGBT Americans were much likely to identify as not religious at all. 40% considered themselves not religious, compared with just 30% of non-LGBT Americans. The results of the poll are based on 104,000 telephone interviews with U.S. adults ages 18 or older between January and July of 2014. What's your take on that?
Well, for me,
speaking for myself, this is Bone. Can you blame them? I mean,
right.
I mean, religion shuns most religions. I'm not going to say all, but most religions shun them anyway. So, I mean, how can you expect them to want to be a part of something that doesn't accept them as who they are? The poll itself does not shock me.
No.
At all. I thought it might have been a little worse than that, to be honest with you. So, hey, can't blame me.
Today?
Yeah. I would have to echo that sentiment on why. Why would you be? You know what I mean? If I'm telling you what you're doing is wrong, and you have a choice to agree with what I say, why would you make the choice to agree that I'm doing something wrong and continue to do it?
It makes sense. And you know, the thing is, like Bone pointed out, and you said the same thing, T. Like, at the end of the day, religion, most religions, basically shuns homosexuality. So, it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what was the need of taking the poll. But the numbers do surprise me a little bit, because I would have thought it would have been way more high. It would have been a higher percentage of LGBT who didn't care about race.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I would have thought the percentage would have been a little higher on that end, myself as well. I mean,
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the percentage. What was the percentage?
It's, hold on just a minute. 47% of LGBT Americans consider themselves not religious at all, compared to 30% of non-LGBT.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just missed the numbers, so I didn't want to.
All right. I would have.
47%?
47%? I would have more so on the side of, high 50s, 60s,
yeah.
I would have thought, me personally. But I guess it's some that wholeheartedly believe in religion, you know, despite how religion may see them, they still see some good in religion, so they still accept it, I guess. I'm guessing.
And I mean, another point it pointed out that just less than half of the LGBT Americans said religion is important. So some of them still feel a connection, must
mm-hmm.
be. But on the other side, how can you feel it? It's a conflict.
Right.
Because you want to be connected to something that don't accept you. And you see, that becomes the issue.
Right.
But now, we said religion. We never said spirituality or God. We said religion. So that's
you got to take that into account with the poll itself. You know,
right.
They may have said, I'm more spiritual than religious, but they just took it and put it all in the same category.
Right.
No, I don't know.
Now, my next topic, which was something different, but then I was having this conversation, and this came up. A Tampa church, a local church for us, from where we take from, denied one of its members' funeral, to have their funeral at the church. And the basic thing was, it came down to, because the member was married to another man. It was a man married to another man.
Wait a minute. Okay. I'm sorry. Are you done?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Okay. So, him being stopped you and allowed him from being a member and accepting his tithes and offerings, but now that he's passed, dead, and gone, you don't feel like... I'm sorry, Corey, but you don't feel like it's right for you, too.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
The mother said she was told it would be blasphemy to hold the service of her son. And
but it wasn't blasphemy for him to be a member of the church.
No, the preacher said, I got to point this out because I have to put this out here. The preacher said that he didn't know that he was gay until the members of the congregation told him. And they called in and complained. So he's saying that at that point, that's when he considered canceling the funeral. So he's saying he didn't know before.
Come on, man. How people in the church talk to me to tell
me. Right.
You repeated to LB this passage to go.
He says, and this is a direct quote, and I quote, based on our preaching of the scripture, we would have been in error to allow the service in our church. I'm not trying to condemn anyone's lifestyle, but at the same time, I'm a man of God, and I have to stand up for my principles.
Quick, I can go on, but I'm gonna see if he got something.
Okay. I'm with you when you're right. You said as much as things people thought, like, I can't believe, I don't know how long this person has been a member of this church, but if you've been here any significant amount of time, I'm sure you had some type of whisper or something about this person. So fast forward from that. You say he said he's a man of God and he can't go along with, he has to stand based on his principles or whatever the case may be.
Right, right.
By being a man of God, you should understand that it's not your place to tell somebody they're right or wrong for how they live. That's just my opinion. Man of God, you're not a judge. He's a human being who was a part of your church, who is deceived. You knew him.
Right.
You presided over him. You were his shepherd. It's only right that you perform his eulogy. Who else? He was a member of your congregation. So now because you find out something about him that you don't like, he negates everything before? Come on, man.
Right,
and
right.
And we wonder what church serves. Why am I going to church? So you find out that I fornicate. Now you can't perform my eulogy because you're a man of God. And I'm sinning by fornicating. I'm sinning because I lie, because I steal, because I do whatever I do as a sinner. You
right.
Find out my sin. You being a man of God prevents you from performing my eulogy? Really? I don't know.
See, and this is why I thought the number from the first end of no would
right.
be higher.
Right, exactly.
Because of stuff like this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, the last thing you should be doing is judging him from his lifestyle. You're supposed to accept him for who he is. You acted like you were doing that by allowing him to be a member of your church. But now you're showing how you
really feel. Right. And it says, like, going into the article, I'm reading here, it says that, like, it was the day before they canceled the service.
Mm.
So it wasn't even like, you know, I brought it to you. It was set to go down. The mother got the call abruptly. The day before, telling her they was going to cancel the service, after the preacher learned the deceased was gay and his obituary listed a surviving husband. What happened? The congregation?
Yeah.
So now you're not doing what's right for the whole overall of the spiritual understanding of the church. You're doing what's right for a few that decide what they want to do. They're going religion.
That's religion right there. Now, don't say nothing. Don't put it in the paper. Don't broadcast it, and we'll go through with the search.
Right.
But since you want to put it out there and make and let everybody know, nah, we don't want no part of it. That's crazy to me.
No, my thing is this.
Go ahead, T.
You had the option. Even if you personally don't want to perform the eulogy, why you got to cancel the search?
Yeah,
and
why can't
let somebody else do the eulogy? If you don't feel comfortable speaking over this man, having his last words or whatever, you don't feel comfortable doing that because of what you learned. Fine. But why do you have to cancel the whole service? Now he can't come into church now?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't even think he was ever going to do the eulogy. I think they had somebody else doing it. They was using the church more because that's where he was from.
They only just don't want him in the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he wasn't going to perform
that
anyway. Okay.
But then that puts the family in a tight spot now, because now the day before, now they got to try to find somewhere last minute. They made all their arrangements and all of these things. That's cold-hearted right there, if you ask me.
My thing is, how you make a decision like that and don't take into consideration the impact you put on the family that means you so stuck on what you believe. But you don't care about hurting them and doing what would be humane. If it's in the humility in this, you would have let it be done to prove a point that we take in everybody.
Right.
Even those who was in the church saying, in the congregation saying, hey, what are you doing? This is not what we do. No, you show them. Because really, honestly, I don't want you a part of my church. If that's how
really,
you feel.
Really, if that's how you feel, you know, we're not here to judge. We're here to, like Corey says, I'm here to be a shepherd to the sheep.
Right.
To the children of God. That's my job to do it. And then I feel like this would be a part of that job. But I guess he felt like the people that pay him.
That I just was saying, it shows you where his loyalty
is. You know, the people that pay him, the surviving people that pay him, because I'm sure this man was a member. He was paying his tithes and his offerings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the surviving people that pay him felt like he shouldn't do it. But then, but you the teacher. Take this opportunity to teach a lesson.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You gotta
so I can't
like,
even get it out.
If you too much. Go ahead, T.
No, I'm sorry. I was saying I couldn't even get it out. Like, that was a shining moment. That was his moment to shine, to let God shine through him. Even though I'm coming up against all of this and all y'all think I shouldn't do this, my love is enough to pass through this, and hopefully you learn something from how I handled it. No, you didn't handle it that way. You gave us opportunity to scrutinize you now.
Definitely. I feel like it that move, that choice to do that, harmed the image of the church more so than helped it.
Yeah.
If he was trying to save the image of the church or promote something good from the image of the church, I think it did the complete opposite. Me personally.
Yeah, I had to throw it in there because it kind of lined up with that topic already, but it almost caught me off guard because I was like, really? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, this is where we got to the point now where we're going to individualize ourselves so much, we're going to turn away people from the church?
Oh, it ain't just started.
It's been like that, dude.
Yeah, it ain't just started.
Yeah, That's true. It's just, I guess we never had the, well, I wouldn't even say the means. I guess you never seen it being publicly
to this extreme, I would say. You know, to the point to where they won't even marry the man?
You're getting comfortable. You get so comfortable with doing something out of there.
That's crazy.
Now, that brings about this question for me, for y'all. I don't know any reason, any justifiable reason that any person should be expelled from church. Any reason.
And sitting here in contemplation, I can't find one. I don't.
If that's your stance, then hold to that stance thoroughly. If you don't want, you know, because of, you know, openly gay people in your church, then say that from the rip. Don't let them come in your church. Don't let them be members of the church. You know, maybe let them come to church, but don't let them be members. You know, if that's what you're going to do. If you're going to push it to this extent, so now what does that say to the rest? Because I'm pretty sure if he was in the congregation, there are other people that are gay in the congregation. So what does that say to those other members of the church that are gay? You have now let them know how you feel about them. Now, would I want to continue to be a member of a church that wouldn't bury a man simply because of his sexual orientation?
No. I don't know if I could be a member of a church that wouldn't bury somebody for any reason. That's just me personally. But, and also seeing that, I understand your question, though, T, because, like Bone said, if they put them out there in the beginning, but we got to understand, who set rules? Where are your rules? If God said, come as you are, and we worship in our heart, and a church is supposed to be where we worship and carry our praise with God, what you did before you came in here don't matter. What you came in here for is the purpose, and that's all we should be worried about. So why would I bury anybody? Each other, love everybody. I have no problem burying anyone in my church. This is what it's for. That's crazy. Oh man, let me go to the next topic. Let me go to the next topic, man. T, you got something else on that?
No. Do your thing.
Move to the next topic, which may not be any better, but mom helps son partake in a fight challenge. A Charlotte woman is facing charges after police says she helped her son set himself on fire in a videotaped stunt. The mom, 41, was arrested last week on a charge of contributing to delinquency of a minor. In the past month or so, the Fighting Challenge has increased in popularity on the internet. The chapel here, the chapel area alone, the Burn Center has treated a 12-year-old boy and a 14-year-old boy in the past 3 weeks who burned themselves severely in the sun, requiring extensive surgery and perhaps leaving them scarred for life. What's your take on it? I mean, it's terrible we got these challenges going on. But now you have a mom helping her son in the video to do this stuff.
I saw this coming a mile away. Somebody was going to get seriously injured, and their parents or whoever is in charge of them was going to end up paying the consequences.
Yeah.
I think, while unfortunate, I think this is necessary. This is might be the only way we can get it to stop. Now, along the same lines, but maybe not so as severe, is this Ice World Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while you may not be as seriously injured as setting yourself on fire, I mean, there still are some consequences to pouring a 20-, 30-, 40-pound bucket of ice water across his head,
there,
too.
Yeah,
all this other stuff. You know, what scares me is that these celebrities are doing it now.
Oprah.
And Oprah. Athletes. Singers. You know, people that are visible to everybody are doing it now. So is that going to help us stop this? Or is it just going to make it more popular?
Popularize. That's all it's going to do.
So I don't agree with them at all. You know, if we're gonna continue to do challenges, go back to where we started with the pictures. You know, do the grown and sexy and all that. Do that, but be 18 and older.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, help them.
Okay, so
see,
if I understand correctly,
mm-hmm.
you said she helped him set himself on fire, right?
Yeah, she helped him. Yeah, she was a part
okay.
of.
See, that sets her apart from everybody else to me. It's one thing to turn a blind eye to it. It's another thing to condone it. But it's a whole separate
right.
issue when you take part in it. Now, I guess you rubbing him down with alcohol or you the one who actually set the match. Like, her punishment, well, I can't say what her punishment should be because then I'll be, but she is set apart from everybody else in my opinion. I don't even know what to say about her. Like, how can you set your child on fire?
And pretty much say it was just a stunt. I mean, first of all, how can you condone the stunts even being done outside of your child?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get to the point where you participate in your child on videotape.
This is one of those cases. This has been my favorite word for the last couple of weeks or so. But this is misguided parenting.
Yeah.
Now I'm pretty sure she thought that okay, if he gonna do it, I'm gonna be here
right.
with him to watch over. Well, obviously that didn't damn work. So you know what I mean, so what? Only thing you were the first one to do was the first one to try to put him out.
Right.
When he lit himself
right.
on fire.
Exactly.
But that doesn't take away from. You allowing it, participating in it with him, you know, and condoning it. That's crazy. I mean, I saw a little bit because I can't bring myself to watch the entire video.
Right.
But I watched a little bit of it. You could see her in the
yeah,
video.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy to me.
That's why I was like, how you going to think you do this? For one, it's absurd. Then you in the video being hate, helping your child set itself on fire.
I don't know, man. It's a testament to where we are, man. I say that almost every week or every show, but that's just how I see it. It's getting to the point now where nothing is surprising no more. You can hear about anything, and it don't really surprise you. Well, surprise me. It might be a
that's
little
true.
Bit of, damn, they did it like that? But it ain't no just... appalled by anything anymore. Why? Because we've been conditioned. Expect the unexpected.
Almost to a sense to where we've been desensitized. You know, back in the day, nobody would even think to even attempt to do this. Now it's
to just talk to the street for entertainment.
Back in the day, you would have had parents who would have got together to do something. Like, it wouldn't even have to go to the police. It wouldn't have had to go to the news. It wouldn't have had to. The moment we heard it, we're coming to see about you because something's wrong, and you shouldn't do this for this baby. But we don't live in that time.
You're right. Parents have been in an uproar. They've been signing petitions. They've been going on TV talking about it. They've been doing, come to the schools talking about it. They've been doing all kinds of stuff. But like, we've been desensitized, man. It's scary. It really is scary what we'll do to entertain us.
Man, I do apologize because the end of the note was kind of depressing. But at the end of the day, we need to know these things. So I don't apologize for getting facts out there and the actual what's going on around us. So we in the know. With that, see if you done with that topic, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna let that one rest, man.
All right. If he's done with it, and me and Bone, we done finished it up. We move on to our last topic of the internet, and like always, we like to kind of clean, go out of it. On a good note, Howard University freshman pose for class photo with hoods with hands in the air. The historically black college in Washington, D.C., incoming freshmen gathered in an auditorium Wednesday for a movie meet. An idea and a movement to promote support for 18-year-old Michael Brown was initiated in a photo showing hundreds of students with their hands in the air. I don't know if you guys seen the actual photo yet, but it was a profound photo. I thought it was a good statement. And the thing is, because it was a freshman class, you almost get the understanding that much as it may have been thought out or planned and not much spontaneous, it had to be for the students, though. Because there's hundreds of freshman students. There's no way they could have known it's coming as freshmen at a movement that they were going to do this. So, for me, it shows, like, us coming together on something.
I haven't seen that one, but I have seen some other photos of this type, and that's what I feel like we need. Mm-hmm. We need stuff like that. That's a non-violent protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That it's not going to do us any good burning down our businesses within our own communities. It's things like this that while peaceful and quiet,
mm-hmm.
you know, while peaceful and quiet, they still are profound. They still get their point across. They still move people to, I don't know, make feel some type of way.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen the photo, and it kind of speaks two different things to me. Like, number one, I see the positive. I see it's a bunch of young black people joined together for a cause. And that's, like you said, you use the word profound. I see that. But the very fact that the photo is necessary. And looking at the photo is like, again, this is where we are. And it's crazy. But on the positive note, for them to be able to come together and do that and stand for somebody that they don't know. I'm assuming none of those people knew him. But we're going to stand up and we're going to, in a sense, protest for injustice. How can you go against that?
Yeah, and I pretty much feel the same way as you guys. I thought it was a great idea. I thought it was a great initiation to show that it's care out there. There's some people that are willing to make the movement. I think that's a beautiful thing, man. But like you say, it does also on the bad side of it, on the blind side, or the visible side shows us where we're at. And in being there, we need to start doing these posters just on the strength of the fact that we want to be united. Don't let somebody just come to bring us to this point. Hey, man, I would love to see posters of the incoming freshman class of all schools in a united front. You know what I mean? Just outside of that. But if this is what it takes for us to unite, I'm okay with that. As long as we unite. With that, I mean, if anybody else don't have anything else on that. You good, Bone?
I'm good, man.
See?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
We're moving to the title of the thing.
Hold on, I don't mean to cut y'all off, but, you know, looking at the board here, and it's kind of lighting up. Got a couple of people. I wanted to see if they have anything to add to the end of the know before we go into our topic. Calling you on the air, did you have any comments or statements, anything on any of our topics in the end of the note?
Yes, I'm actually calling about the situation in Ferguson. Are you guys up to date with what's all going on?
Somewhat, but if you don't mind, we want to kind of stick this to any kind of topics that we're in our end of know at this moment. We may go into the things going on in Ferguson, but at this moment, at this time, we would like to stick to any kind of topics that were for the end of know. So, Dad, I don't want to hold this up anymore. Let's go into the show.
With that, we're moving to the title of the day's show. The title of the day's show is Movement. Movement is a difficult topic because a lot of times when you say movement, it calls for moving. I mean, it's the basis of the word, move. But, I mean, it's wanted. It means it's wanted to be talked on. So we'll dive into it a little bit and see where it takes us. We are open for that journey and finding out what we discover. Our first subtopic is the purpose. I don't know where you guys want to start. Bone, T, you want to start it off?
See, I don't have, because I'm remote, I don't have my notes. And movement, as far as you said, the purpose, that was you want to
right.
start with purpose and movement? For me, personally, my understanding, the purpose of a movement is to, I don't want to use the word protest, to take action against something that warrants action. That's the simplest way I can put it. At some point, someone has to have initiative. Someone has to, we can all see a thing that affects a group of people. It doesn't have to affect everybody, but it can be impactful to a number of people. And we can see the impact, we can feel the impact. 9 times out of 10, most of us will sit back and allow the impact to happen. When something warrants action, I feel that's the prototypical, I guess, definition of movement to me. I don't know which way y'all want to go with it, but.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll start off with a definition I found for movement that kind of pertains to the topic itself. A group of people working together to advance their shared political, social, or artistic ideas. You know, ideas. You said that this was a tricky topic. That,
mm-hmm.
And I think all three of us would agree with this, I think, that talking about movements, you know, a lot of times people may not want to go into the conversation simply because, like you said, when you go to start talking about it, it ignites something
mm-hmm.
where movements begin. And I want to say here, speaking for myself, I'm not here to start a movement, but I think it's dialogue and communication across the board that is needed. We need to talk on it. And starting with purpose, why do we feel, or what would be a purpose that where a movement is needed? Are we at a state now as a people to where a movement would be beneficial? You know, I think yes. We are at a state to where as a people
a movement would be beneficial because it's a shared idea. We as a culture have lost that shared idea of togetherness, of community, of family. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, so we have to talk about this in order to bring those things back. That's how I feel.
You know what? And this is funny because, and this is once again God showing us how he wants to move and deliver his message. I misstated the subtitle because looking at my notes, I see it says the process, not the purpose. But you have to have a purpose to go through a process.
Right.
So now, in understanding that, I get why it got mixed up in all of the explaining of us going through it. I'm sorry about that. Kind of lost the our connection for a minute, but we're back. Apologize for that. As I was saying before we went off, the process. What's your take on the process of the whole movement? I'm sorry for misstating purpose. T, you with us?
Well, you know, I'll jump in. Purpose. If the definition of movement is sharing a idea, purpose is when we see
we're on the process.
Process.
The process. Everybody.
No, the process of a movement begins with purpose.
Right.
So. Understanding what a movement is and understanding why a movement began. And for me, the process would begin with understanding that that we need to move on. That there is something going on that is not right. And we need to try to fix that issue.
I agree. I totally agree. Momentarily, we'll get T back in here in a minute so he can put his take on the process. But when I look at the process, I understand it's undertaken in many different forms. You know what I'm saying? Like, a process for one movement may be different than another movement. And in understanding that, I mean, we can even give an example for ourselves. Just us as the radio the co-host of this show. TOAB, for instance. The whole process of it was unexpected. You know what I'm saying? We didn't necessarily know the process we were going through. We went through it. And in going through that process, we initiated a movement. If the movement was nothing else but a platform for individuals to come on and share their opinions openly. Now, what may be drawn out of that, we don't know. But the movement was... The process was put in place unexpectedly for us through TOAB. Now, directly, you see the process maybe taking place in instance, for examples, if I said Jesus or Dr. King. Directly, you see in these two individuals the process undertaken. But we're stepping outside of ourselves now, and we have to, we're seeing a projection off of someone else. But it's still a process. And in their process, it starts a movement, i.e. Jesus, Christianity, the whole understanding of Christianity, i.e. Dr. King, the whole movement of civil rights, the process. We've seen it in them directly. For us, in our undertaking, someone else may say they've seen it directly because they watched TOAB. For us in TOAB, it was unexpected. So the process comes in many different forms. T, what you got for us?
All right, I don't know if I may end up repeating something that was already said. I got disconnected here, but as far as the process, for me, the first step in the process is understanding why the movement is necessary. Understanding why I'm participating. Understanding why movement is even in the conversation. If I don't understand what it is the movement is for, how can I be a part of the movement? All right, second process is, or part of the process is, to determine what action I can take. How can I contribute to the movement? I can understand it, but if I can't do nothing about it, if I feel as though my resources are limited, I have no impact whatsoever, I can understand the movement all day, but if I can't do anything about it, then is that movement for me? So I say first is understanding the movement. Second is gaining or coming to grips with terms of whether you have an impact in that movement. I think once you figure those two out, if you can say, yes, I understand this, and yes, I can be impactful, third is, do I want to? And after you can say yes to all three of those, and then I feel like it's ball to the wall. Excuse me, I want, for lack of a better phrase, ball to the wall from there. I mean, because if I understand it, I can have an impact, and I want to. What stops me from this? Whatever the movement may be. I heard you talking about TOAB. Yeah. Radio, man, listen, talking in public, Corey, no, don't go together. It's just not two things that mix. It just don't happen. But here I am. Why? Because I understood what the motive was when we said when this first came about. Okay. Can I do this? Yeah, I guess I can. Do I want to? Why not? Okay, so then let's go.
Makes
so for me,
sense,
I guess that's process to me.
No, I would agree. I would agree. And see, this is the thing, because everybody's going to have their own individual process anyway, because however it plays out, it may not be seen the same way for me as it is for you, but the difference is in initiating it, once it gets started, if I get behind you, we're going. And like you say, like with TOAB, we all sat down, collectively came to understand it individually and collectively. But at some point, we had to understand it for ourselves. So I think your three steps are really probably fundamentally what everybody goes through to get the process of anything. And definitely, if we're going to make a solid and impactful movement, you have to undergo that. So, yeah, I agree. I thought you were saying something, but the process of the movement, and as you can see, movement is going to be a difficult topic. It is, because you don't want to put movement out there in the standpoint where you glorify a movement you're making. And then you don't want to limit yourself. No, I'm going to say limit. You don't want to, and this is a good word, commit yourself to anything with movement in it, because now you're accountable.
Right.
And I think right now, at this moment, that may be where I'm at.
Right.
And that's why I'm kind of like, okay, where do I go from here? But in understanding that and being honest in that, I understand if there's a movement for me to do, then I need to take it on. And for me to have the conversation, for me to be presented with it at this point, it means it's relevant.
I agree with you. I feel like conversations like this spark things and people, spark different things in people.
Right.
You know, for you, Dad, it may spark you to start a movement.
Right, exactly.
And put something in motion and put forth the energy that, you know, it would take for a successful movement. Because, sitting here thinking about it, there are movements that I would be a part of, but there are things that I would not want to have any kind of association with.
Exactly.
Anything that condones violence,
at this point in my mm-hmm. life, because violence has gotten us to where we are. Mm-hmm. So violence is not going to fix the issue. It's not going to fix the problem. Violence is the problem. So a peaceful movement for me, if Dr. Martin Luther King was sitting here before us and he said, I'm starting a peaceful movement, I would be on board mm-hmm. all day long. But if I question your motive or question the steps that I would see you trying to take, then I probably wouldn't want to have any kind of association with it. But is it needed at this point where we are with the things where the, you know, our children putting themselves at risk and killing each other and other groups killing us, you know? Well, you know, you got kids where it wasn't, in our time, yeah, okay, did people die at a young age? Yes. But at this alarming rate?
Right, right, exactly.
It was a straight tragedy. If I was a teenager in my early 20s, it was a straight tragedy if anybody my age died.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's to a point to where it's a everyday occurrence.
Yeah. It's true.
Every other day. Some young person is losing their lives over some nonsense. And it's scary. Do we need to do something yet? But we got to handle it right, man. We got to take the right steps and not waste our energy putting it towards things that are going to be more counterproductive than productive. That's me.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Now, if I can interject for a second. I'm going to first say I agree with you, BJ Bone, and what you just said wholeheartedly. Last week, or today's Sunday, on Wednesday, when we got into the whole Michael Brown topic and we were talking about what was going on in this, that, and the third, I spoke from genuinely how I felt in the moment. But in reflecting on the things that I said, I understand it was more emotional than it was strategic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I understand totally. You, we've heard you have to fight fire with fire. Yeah, but what does that do? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, when the fight is all over, what have you accomplished? What have you gained? So I agree that in starting a movement for whatever reason, you have to counteract what you're moving against. To take on the same methods that you, if I take on the same methods in my movement against violence, what is the point of the movement? That's not a movement.
Yeah.
That's just me starting an opposition, a team of opposition. That's not a movement. That's not what a movement is about. So, going forward, me personally, right now at this time in our life, in our society, and what's going on in the world, I think the movement that needs to happen is a movement of understanding. Just understand. You know what I mean? Like, some things you can't do anything about other than understand. And if you understand it, maybe you can counteract it just in your actions. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No,
but
it makes total sense to me.
The movement of understanding. Understanding why young people are dying at the rate they're dying at. Understanding why marriages aren't working. Understanding why division is happening. Understanding why the world is going in the way it's going. And once I understand it, again, now, what can I do in this movement? How can I help this? Am I willing to? And then the movement happens. I think the understanding of understanding is where we are. That's just me. Understanding.
I agree. I agree with you, T. I agree with Bone. And I see it like this, too. I think even myself, I'm going to put myself in this because I've been a victim myself. What we often look to do is to look for, and I said this earlier, a Jesus or another Dr. King, when we got the same characteristics in ourselves. The next leader is us. The reason we don't see a leader is because we're not stepping out to lead. And the only way for it to happen is for everybody to understand it. Like you said, see, it just comes down to understanding. It's not the fact that what Jesus sacrificed and what Dr. King went through for civil rights, that we should be at a point where we don't understand these things. You should be able to look at it, understand. The reason I stood before this and I did this is for you to take the same exemplification and personify it yourself in the moment. Right now we have moments. We have plenty of moments. It's outside of the St. Louis thing. You got moments right here at home where we can step out in those moments and do that. But you know what catches us every time? First thing we're going to say is, ain't nobody going to follow me. And everybody feels the same way. So nobody ever steps out. And we lay it back to where we're at now.
The difference between, for me anyway, how I feel, I think the difference between a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X is they didn't care whether or not
what people thought
or who would follow or who would stand next to them. They made a stance. They made a stance which made other people follow them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is probably more so the hindrance from there ever being any more black leaders, but that's a different subject. Now, as far as movements that we need today, there are several movements that we need today. You know, yeah, we can go to what happened in St. Louis. You know, that in itself, that Trayvon Martin and all the, you know, the gentleman that was killed in New York City, you know, there are several things as far as how we're being treated by our authority figures, whether, you know, or our protectors or whatever they're supposed to be. You know, that in itself condones a movement. But there are other ones, too, like Corey hit on the head, you know, about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm big on family. Families, you know, bringing back the value, though, and the importance of a family, a mother and a father and kids, you know, if you choose to be kids, a household, you know, because that's how I feel like we're going to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movement that I want to be a part of right there, is changing our future at the grassroots,
mm-hmm.
our kids, our children. That's how we're going to make a change in the future, you know, raising and creating good people when we have that ability to do so. Because it's too late to try to do it once they're grown. So I think that's what you
need. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't know if you were doing that. I want to pose a question to the both of you. Do you think there is an area of focus? I'm going to say this again. Do you think there is an area of focus that we can concentrate on that will have an impact on everything? Being that we're talking about movements and the different types of movements and this, that, and the third, I guess another way to ask the question, is there one movement that can take care of everything?
Yeah, I think so. I think Bones just explained it too, because I was listening to him and I was picking up on the direction he went, and I was like, you know, I'm looking at this movement thing from a more broader, like it's something I need to go do outside of where I'm at. And I mean where I'm at as far as physically sitting, standing home. How can I, if we can initiate the movement in family, you change the work. Because that's grassroots. That's starting back where a lot of our understanding comes from. Yeah, it's because years ago through our own things and to get to a final standpoint where we put it all together, but it was put in us at that foundation. And if the movement is started inside of family, I think what you see on in society becomes different, because what is coming out of the homes now is different than what's coming out of the homes in the standpoint where we see all this discord and all this dysfunction. Oh no, I mean, I just tagged on it because Bone brought it up, but it's a great point.
So you believe the movement is an individual movement? It's a movement like you say, at home. Whatever my understanding, my action, my all of that is centralized or focused on my home. And by doing that, I impact eventually the world.
I think it starts, but I don't think I'm going to limit myself and just being blind and think that's all I need to do. I think
I'm just trying to understand it. I'm not.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm saying, like, when I say family, I mean that's where we should start the movement, not just mine. If we're going to start a movement, let's go right to the foundation of everything. Let's make a movement where, in some kind of way, I don't know, we can start an organization where you put in place family counseling, family group meetings, family interactive challenges.
Workshops.
That's the best kind of movement, because then you bring people in and unite. And at the end of the day, no matter how much we say it, I say this all the time, I love my family. But then sometimes I hide from them. And sometimes I don't answer my phone and they call. But whenever they need me, I'm going to be there. But, so, that means there are issues in my family. But as much as there are issues, I feel love uncontrollably inside of them. So with that, if you give me an opportunity to better my family situation, I'm taking that on before I take on bettering the whole community. But if the whole community is a part of me bettering my family interaction, and we all doing it together, now we're unifying.
And I think that is the purpose of a movement, is to have long-lasting effects. I could go out and protest and picket and be seen now, yeah, and you can't talk about me now, but in the week you forget all about me and everything I said.
Right.
Then what was the purpose of that? You know, long-lasting effects, to me, need to be a part of a movement, and I think the only place we can start is in our homes and with our family, because they go out into the community. If I affect my child to show them that, you know, hey, I teach my child, it ain't necessarily cool to run with every crowd. You know, so stay away from, you know, the bad crowd, as, you know, our parents call it. You know, while, like you said, that you touched on it a little bit, yeah, when we was young, we did our thing. We smoked, we drunk,
right.
We hung out, you know, but it was still, within that, it was still things we wouldn't do. We still wouldn't rob and steal, you know, we still didn't sell drugs, we still didn't do all those other things, you know, use hard drugs, you know, things that were surrounding us within our community and outside of our direct community, you know, places that we hung out, it happened around us, but we didn't partake because of that structure that we had from our homes and our families and how we were raised. So that right there in itself shows me that there's an opportunity to change, but it has to be across the board.
You know? Yeah.
But it has to start somewhere also. So in that ramp,
okay, now, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you. This is just for conversation, and this is also reality. I want to introduce this to the conversation. What do we do when we are partaking in that movement, when we are teaching according to how we believe and what we believe to be right in our homes and just with people we come in contact with? Through, you know what I mean, the way we live life, right? What do you do, or what happens when you still run into that situation, the innocent person who was shot by what's-her-name, or I guess what I'm saying is, how do you handle the adversity that's still going to come within your movement?
You know, see, this is the thing with movement. When you say movement, and I think y'all know this, I'm in a position, by profession, I'm a clinical therapist. I'm in a position where I understand exactly your question, T. I understand it totally. And I'm in a position where I can implement the needs and the resources for all this I'm saying as far as family structure, getting the groups together, applying in the community. And that's okay. That's fine. That builds from inside out. Can I ever put my hands on what's going to happen down the road or in the moment I'm teaching the class? Probably not. But we can only be satisfied of the impact of what we're doing in the moment we're in. I know other things are going to happen. I know you're going to have another St. Louis. You might have another Trayvon Martin. I get that. I understand that. I've seen more tapes now of police brutality in the last week or so. And they've been out there the whole time, I know, right? But it's because it's at the forefront now. So I understand things are going to go on, but we can't get deferred from our own movement trying to save every movement. You got to start in your movement, move with that movement, and apply it. It'll build. I just think we have that opportunity that we'll go into. You get that, T?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Tony. I mean, basically what you're saying is you can't do everything. I can't be
right.
A part of everything.
And as much
Pick
as you
your
probably,
battle, basically.
Because if you... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, all I said was pick your battles, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And understanding that, and this is going to be the hard part for anyone who starts a movement. If you've driven and have the passion to start to bring about change, anything that goes against that going to impact that person. So that means you're going to have that total, you're going to have a conflict. Like if it's, say for instance, I put in place or it's brought, I'm unable to have these family sessions and group meetings in my own community. That doesn't mean the next time I turn on the TV and see something, I'm going to want to go do something about that too. But now I have to realize, okay, this is your movement here. If you're going to give it your all and trust in it, then it'll build till we get to a form where we like that. Because the truth is, everything, and that's going back to the purpose and the process, everything kind of starts off in a small level. The fact that Rosa Parks would give up her seat. She wasn't the first person to do that. You know what I'm saying? And it could have been totally forgotten in history if it wouldn't have got in the right hands the way God wanted to walk. The fact that this guy got Michael Brown,
right,
is innocently shot. This ain't the first time we heard of this. But at this point, somebody has, the unification has to come into play somewhere. All this rioting and tearing up your own, even if it ain't your town, why are you tearing up something? That's not going to change anything.
Right.
And I think you made a great point earlier, and T said it too. If we do anything now, it has to be in peace, because history shows us every movement that has been significant was done in a peaceful manner. And like T said, how can you come against negative with negative and expect to get anything but negative out of it?
Exactly.
It's the conflict we're going to find in everything we talk about. And I think we're starting to understand that in the last three shows, because that's that conflict that's there for me. That's that conflict for us to find our growth and to move forward. Even we finding it now in movement, it's still there. Because even when you have movement and you think now, okay, I'm at a position now where I'm making a difference, you still have conflict because something else is going to come up. And you passionate enough that you can't lose yourself so much in what you're doing, you still want to touch that. To kind of try to really go towards what you ask instead of going where I'm going off on the tangent. The truth of the matter is, I think that's the whole point. That's okay. In movement, to have that conflict, it's okay. Because that just shows the heart of you. It shows what you want to change everything. I'm not doing enough ever. And that's cool. That's cool. As long as we understand in that moment, I'm in that moment.
Right.
I think where it becomes
you just hit
why movement is so difficult is because it's something that's been going on for a long time. Protests, marches, speeches, rallies, demonstrations, whatever you want to call them. Like, it's been going on for a long time. And it kind of feels like, what is this accomplishment? You know what I mean? Like, now I can understand this mindset is what I'm saying. I'm still talking about peace, peace, peace. They still pop, pop, pop. They still shooting. They still with violence. We still peace. They still violence. We still peace. We die, and it seems as though they win. But at the end of the day, for them to continue means that the movement is working in some fashion.
And I agree with that. And you hit on it that when you said every movement that ever caused any real change has been a peaceful movement.
Yeah.
What did those peaceful movements encounter along the way?
Violence. Yeah.
It was a violent reaction. Peaceful marches. They got the dog sick on it. They was sprayed with water hoses. Mm-hmm. You know, the list goes on and on and on. While they were the most successful movement, they encountered the most evil,
right,
I would say, reactions from the counterpart, I guess you would say, of the movement itself. You know, we wanted equality, and in our fight to gain equality, man, that was the moments when we were shown that we weren't equal the most. So I understand and I agree. You know, while peaceful movements seem to, you know, we lose lives and they take them. You know, those are the most effective ones.
Yes.
Those are the ones that have the most lasting effect, I would say.
Yes.
When I am being peaceful and you are showing me your true side, your evil side, within your reaction to my peaceful movement, you are proving my point.
Yeah.
You are showing that what I am trying to change needs to be changed.
Yeah. And that's a great point. Yeah, because if you think about it that way, boom, it brings me to understand why movement and making a movement, the individual or the individuals involved have to be selfless. And you can look at it in three different examples. I even bring it down to a social example and say the military. To sign up for the military, you swear your life on protecting the country. That's selfless. That's the most selfless service you can do. That's selfless. So you give yourself in that moment selflessly for a movement. And the ultimate cost is, you understand, I can lose my life. You look at Jesus. Jesus was crucified, but he was selfless in it. He was going to go about his way and the way he understood it. And in that, he's revered. The same way a soldier is revered that's killed in war. Because they made that service, they made that selfless serve. To serve again. We fall back into serving. You look at great leaders like Malcolm X, Dr. King, you could even put Kennedy in there. JFK, John F. Kennedy, the president. You could even put him in there. You can look at these kind of people and see they selflessly serve. And in doing so, they're revered. So the truth of the matter is, and I always say this, and I believe it, in the stand, when we come to that stand, you have to believe wholeheartedly in God. And in believing in God, you understand, I probably won't see what my movement take on. Dr. King told us that in his last speech. I won't get there with you. But we as a people will see the promise. He knew he would never see it, but he had initiated the movement, and he selflessly gave himself in that movement to understand, I'm going to give my life. And I think that's the commitment, and that's why movement is so hard.
Right.
Because, you know, once you go into movement, and even in talking about it, once you establish yourself in understanding it, you're accountable. You're accountable for whatever you do. And movement is as simple as me saying, I'm not going to drive a certain car, I'm going to drive another. Once I initiate it, that's a movement I'm making. Somebody's watching.
I'm not going to take the bus.
What? That's a movement.
I ride a bike. I'm a carpool. I'm not going to take the bus. That was a movement.
That's a movement. A selfless movement, because at the end of the day, you are being inflicted the the unpleasantry of being able to ride the bus kind of find a way now.
Right.
But for the overall cost, I'm keeping myself. But you find comfort because you go through the process. See?
I wanted to pose another question. Listening to, go through the particulars about movement. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said, hit us with it.
When you think about, or when I think about a movement, I think about numbers. I think about a group of people, a large group of people supporting a specific cause. Can a movement be initiated and completed by one person?
I think it can be initiated. I don't believe it can be completed by one person because I think you got to unite to get the movement to even be successful. But that's my personal belief. But I think initiation comes, and I don't even give the one person the credit. I think the initiation comes from God. I think it may be transcended through an individual, and we can give off examples of that easier than we probably can. Because there's a lot of movements started that people didn't necessarily get the credit for, or it was just a unified mission.
I have to agree with you. I think, an individual can initiate it, but for me, in order for it to be a movement, it has to be at least more than one person.
Yeah.
It has to be a group of people. It may be a small group of people, but if they believe wholeheartedly in what they believe in and they stand by that, then to me that's a movement. And if it is righteous, I guess you could say, for the lack of a better word, then other people will see it and join that movement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I was listening to you two talk about movements and talking about your understanding of that and the peaceful part, and you went in Dr. King, you went in JFK, and you even went to Jesus. It just brought up the question, okay, can a movement be of one person? But that was my question. You answered that. What was the second subtopic? I think we got kind of stuck in the process, or did we move on and I missed it?
No, we didn't move on. We kind of probably hit on it, but we really didn't move on. It's the stand. So we can move into it now. It'd be a good time.
Break it down for us. What do we mean by when we say the stand? Break that down for us.
For me, the stand is basically the undertaking in company. Once you get to the point where you understood the purpose, you went through the process, now you make a stand, you have to be confident in yourself. Not for me, personally, and I pointed out this earlier, I said TOAB was the expectation from the standpoint of a movement for me. I had to understand that we can look at our TOAB guide for. The first thing on there is God. That's my stand. At all times, as long as I stand with God, and you know what, T, this is a good point, too, because I don't know, I say one person can't make a movement, because I think ultimately you have to unite for the movement to be successful. But I also understand now at this point that one with God is a majority.
There you go.
So with that undertaking, that initiation from that one person may be the creditable stance to say it starts to move it. Yes, the unification comes after that,
right.
But somewhere it has to be initiated. But yeah, I do agree with that side of it. Because I think that's true. That's really true. But once the movement starts to unveil itself, you see unification.
Right.
But yeah, I go back on my answer. Yeah, I do believe one person may be able to, because we gave examples of them individuals, and I gave a good explanation of why I seen the alternative. But in thinking about it right now in this moment, the truth of the matter is, if one with God is the majority, that's the movement. everything that comes into it is a part of the movement, but the movement started, yeah. So, yeah. And I found that in the stand. But my homeboy pointed out to me, so I appreciate that, T. In direction, same thing. Everything in the stand for me is God. The stand becomes God. If I stand 2 feet planted in the ground with God, this movement will reveal itself. That's where I have to be. So, in understanding the purpose, I get the purpose and I originally assume or I take in, this is God telling me. That's what I have to understand.
Right.
Then, in the process, God, I trust in him to walk me through the process. The 3 steps T said earlier, I trust in God to take me through them and give me the answers I need. In the stand, I don't do nothing. I let God do everything.
You do what it's called.
Same thing. That's it.
Because you've gone through the process of understanding it. You understand the purpose. You've gone through the process. Okay, now for me, once I have entered the stand, I believe in what I believe in wholeheartedly. And I believe in why the reason why I believe in it is because I trust in God to be guiding me in the right direction. So now all I need to do is stand. Stand on the ground that I have laid before me and stand on the merits and the actions that I say I'm going to partake now that I understand the purpose in the process. Now I'm in the stand. And like you say all the time, that you're portraying what you ultimately want people to know about you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Now I'm in the stand. I'm portraying to everyone around me that I believe in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in this. You know, and now you see where I stand as a person. If you agree with me in this movement that I have taken, then you're going to join whether I want you to join or not.
Nah, exactly.
You're going to join me. You're going to go through the same process I did
mm-hmm.
with me as an example. And then now we begin our stance and our movement. That's me.
D, it's on you.
Well, I'll say after going through the process, the stand, and it's funny that you say that's all I got to do is stand. From my understanding, that's the most difficult part. That's when the test starts. The test don't come when I say, okay, I understand it. Okay, so what? You understand it. I can have an impact. Okay, so what? You believe you can have an impact. You're going to join. Okay, well, yeah, you're going to join. When I say I'm standing for this now, that's when I'm going to face all my opposition. When I let it be known that this is what I'm about and I'm standing on this basic principle, that's when my test gets thrown at me. That's when all the difficulties come. So as we say, all I have to do, yeah, that it is that simple in theory, but it ain't that simple in action.
I agree with that, T. Yeah, I agree with you. But you got to remember I said God in the stand. And if I went through the process with God, by the time I get to the stand, I'm standing on his will. I'm letting go of all that. The test going to come. I understand that in the movement. But I'm trusting in his will to carry me through it. Now, I understand what you're saying because it would be blind of us to say, oh, yeah, we're going to move into this. We're going to stand and we just stand here and do nothing. But that's the truth.
Just think about TRAB.
That's the truth.
Now, since we've been using that as an example, let's just go on and
keep
using that as an example. In the whole process of starting it, it may have seemed a bit, we were guided through that. Things were happening just like before you knew it. Before you knew it, it was already done. It's once you get in and you start moving and you start growing within your movement. That's when buddy attack most, I'll say. That's when it becomes difficult. The difficulty comes. When I realize that I can face him, when I can get through this opposition and go stand in my movement regardless of what you throw at me, that's when I become effective in my movement.
I agree with that. I agree with the process. And I think we still have a process. I think the standing with TOAB is coming to its own. It's coming to its own. But in understanding the standing with TOAB, you got to understand it's a process too.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump. I want to jump to us standing if we ain't got through the process. And I think we still learn our way through the show, still at this point. And I'm okay with that because that means I'm getting better. You know what I'm saying? I think it will come a time where, and you know what? This is probably conflictful for me because when I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking like, are we still technically in the process or are we really standing now and don't realize? Because because I can see all the dynamics you just throw in there, T, happening more in the stand, or are we still in the process? Maybe we assume we stand there because we made it to this point, and maybe we're just still in the process figuring it out so we can get to that stand. Because the truth of the matter is that if we was really in the stand, and we are wholeheartedly, genuinely in our heart, solidify in the understanding that God is leading us. I know that. I'm not questioning that. I know that. When we are faced with tests, why are we still learning our way through? If we were at that point where we were standing, the test would get shot down. There wouldn't be such an obstacle. Are we still, maybe, honestly what I'm saying, actually live on air, and this is usually probably a conversation we'll have out there, but it is what it is. Maybe we learned that we're not standing. We're still working through the process of getting to our standing.
I think the even better way of saying it is that the process never ends.
Right.
Once the stand begins, the process is an ongoing process. It does not end. Because
That's a good point.
Within a movement, you know, once it has become a movement and other people are coming into this movement, they're bringing in other perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in other objectives. So because of that, movements, to me, seem like they will be constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because of that, it's always going to be an ongoing process to either make sure the movement stays on track,
mm-hmm.
or handling the, you know, the snowball effect, mm-hmm. we'll call it, of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts to build momentum, it mm-hmm. builds speed, it builds size. You know, it takes effort to either control it or to get out of the way of it.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it seemed like it would be an ongoing process. The process never ends, even within the stand. Even once the so-called movement is over.
Over, yeah.
The process never ends. Yeah.
We see that now.
Right.
We are getting the backlash of that now prior to civil rights. Because the movement is gone, but the process is still in front of us.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, what you think?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to keep up. I don't know if I got a bad signal or what. I'm trying to keep up. But can we say that the civil rights movement is over? And if we can say that it's over, is that the problem?
Right.
Right.
That's the question Bone was posing. I think, and I'm admit to it, I was sitting here trying to break this movement down in steps and thinking once you get past process, you understand and that's it. But Bone pointed out, the process never stops. So if the process never stops, like you said, are we wrong for thinking we're out of the civil rights movement? The movement should have never stopped.
That's the problem,
yeah.
That we thought that we won.
Right.
Or, you know, or the movement has done its job and now there's no longer a need for the movement.
Right, exactly.
And within this conversation, which is why I like having conversations
right.
on topics that we think are tricky, within this conversation, I understand that, no, the movement
that has was started however many years ago is still ongoing.
We lost sight of it.
We lost sight and we thought we arrived. Like we always say, you know, the moment you think you arrive, it's still downfall. And I think, you know, that's what we've done. We thought we arrived. We thought that the movement had helped us, you know, obtain what we said we wanted. But in all actuality, no. Because there's still that opposing party out there that still don't want us to have the rights and say-so that we have now. They still never wanted us to have it,
right.
And they're still fighting us having it to this day. They've changed their tactics, but they're still there.
Doing the same thing.
We dropped the ball by thinking that we had arrived and that we had gained everything that we wanted. And while we were celebrating,
right,
they were evolving.
Right, exactly.
They were changing their tactics. They were finding a different angle to attack us from. So for me, while it's a major part of beginning the movement,
mm-hmm.
it may be the biggest part of the movement itself.
Yeah.
Is realizing that the movement never ends.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Because, no, it's not. It's understanding. But in talking about TOAB, I understood that conceptualization. Because now where I may have thought it was a 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, the process is continual. The conflict becomes me trying to stand before I understand you're going to forever evolve. So with that, you know what, even standing, it's no different than the process. You still don't get that direct or indirect challenge. The test are always and I think the test are worth it because at the end of the day, they prepare you to further strengthen your evolution in the process. So this is a bad question. This is a very bad question. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at it, and I'm breaking it down to facts of just facts of us in the show. It's going to be a continual process. It is what it is. You can't never think you get it. Like I said, we can't think we arrive, and we always know that. Obviously, we understand the process. And now I think I'm understanding the process. All this is put in place in scripture to one day say, we still not be saved. And we may never be the ones to say it. Somebody else will say, you still okay. And then I guess it does come validation fact that I always say, I'll never see one.
Well, I don't know if you can hear me or not because I'm.
Yeah.
I hear y'all cutting in and out, and I'm trying to make the best of the conversation. But here's what I understand about conflict, and that you can put it in whatever movement you want to put it on, and whatever stage of the movement. The more of an impact you either A, have, or B, have the potential to have, the more conflict that you will come up against. Did that make sense? Well, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yeah.
We hear you clear. I don't think it matters what stage you're in. It could, but I don't think it does. I don't think that's pertinent. I think what's important to understand is that in a movement, there is always opposition. And the moment you see more, I will say, offense from your opposition, the more your opposition shows up, the more conflict shows up, the more things, the harder things get. It's just a sign that you're on the right track. That's just how I see it. If you steady run into problems and it's different problems, I can understand the same problem, but if it's a different problem, you steady run into problems, steady running into problems, steady running into problems, that just means keep pushing. Push harder. You're in your stand. You're supposed to face opposition. If you face no opposition, then what are you standing against?
What's the purpose of your movement?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
what's the purpose of your movement if you're not running into these conflicts? You know, that's the whole purpose of the movement, is to combat the conflict that you know is going to come at you. Because, to be honest, it's going to come at you regardless, whether you're trying to move or you're not.
Yeah, you're going to get conflict.
It's going to come at you regardless. So what is the point? If your movement is not encountering anything, then what's the purpose of it? For me, it's not a movement.
No, you ain't moving nobody.
Right.
Because you ain't getting no interaction, so it's not valid. But I understand, T, I understand your point totally. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense on all levels of, like you said, outside of TOAB, when you're looking at just the general relationship with someone, it makes total sense. If you're trying to establish anything with the right intentions or bad intentions, even. I mean, you can't even omit that. Bad intentions. At some point, you're going to face some kind of resistance. And more than likely, if what you're doing is what you wholeheartedly feel and believe you should be doing, that resistance is trying to turn you away from doing what you should be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you have to... Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think the other thing I take out of it, too, though, is that the process never stops. Yeah. And I don't know if I just put that, link that together because it was a subtopic and I thought you get to stand next. No. Because if it was set up that way, that means that's how, in my mind, I must be thought. So, yeah. And that was wrong. That was totally wrong. But that's the whole point. That's the whole point of doing this. That's the whole point of us having these conversations. Because these are movements. If there's nothing else but a personal movement for us individually, it's a movement that we are undertaking and understanding to do something different than what we have been doing. Or to continue to do what we've been doing, but to magnify. Because now we're accountable. So with saying that, as hard as movement may be, and the dynamic of dealing with movement, if you conceptualize it for what it's worth, it ain't all that bad.
I think people that are brave enough to start movements
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Sorry about that, guys. A few technical difficulties. Well, you were saying that?
Don't you put me on the spot. We was ending up the movement, and T, I don't know, it was probably coming towards your turn to even have input anyway. Do you probably remember better where we were at in the conversation than we do. What's your insight, T?
Tennessee. Man, I don't know where we were, man. The process.
But just,
never stopped.
Go ahead, T.
Process never stops. Opposition always going to come. Pretty much, movement is understanding that I'm not happy with where I am, or there's a reason for me to move from where I am to another place, or push towards another place. Movement. It's a process. It's a continual process. I may never arrive there. It would probably be in my best interest to automatically assume I will never arrive, so therefore I won't get comfortable within the movement. But in understanding that I need to move from point A to whatever the next point is, I'll never see it. I'm always going to face conflict, but I'm solid in my stance. That's what movement is in a nutshell to me. It's what it's about. We go back to the civil rights. There's nothing wrong with the movement. Many people have tried many different ways, many different methods, many different whatever. At the end of the day, we got to a place where someone dropped the ball. Right now, the movement is pretty much non-existent. Because somehow we got to a place where either it was we were comfortable with the amount of change we got, or we thought we arrived at BJC, or whatever the case may be, but we lost sight of the movement. And that's why it's somewhat ineffective at this point. Who are our civil rights leaders today, right now, 2014, with all this going on, who can we look to?
You know what? It's funny, though, you ask that question, and it's a great question, too. But you know who they are. Me, you, Bone, anybody else we may encounter that has the same impactful feelings towards these things but are not so much acting out on with them. That's why nobody's stepping up, because we don't have the privilege of having Dr. King or Malcolm X or even for the instance of Jesus right now in our time. So, and knowing what we understand, we've been given the blueprint. We've been given direct individuals who showed us that carrying out the blueprint, what it would get. Now, we have to put ourselves in a position to understand we have to do the same thing. So I totally agree with you. Where they at? I might be him sitting on my bottom right now and don't even realize. Well, I can't say that. I do realize. And in understanding that, which brought me to the point what I was saying earlier, which is the difficult thing about movement, is when I take that accountability and say that I can do that and I should be doing that, now it's only up to me to do.
Which is the reason why conversations about movements are difficult
right.
In the first place. Because they for the individual, bring about a sense of accountability,
mm-hmm.
like you said earlier. And Corey, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We do not have those civil rights leaders, and those that wish to be or try to stand forth, we deem them
genuine.
Yeah, we question their motives. We question their genuineness of what it is, because we hold it so dear, because
right.
our only examples are the Martin Luther King's and the Malcolm X's and the John F. Kennedy's. Those are our examples of great civil rights leaders. We don't have nobody that stands to that level or quality of integrity.
Right, the integrity, yeah.
Exactly, integrity. So, I mean, who else will we follow? I don't really say I will follow you.
Yeah.
I will follow T.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I would think, you know, if I put forth the effort, some people will follow me.
Right, that's what
so,
I'm saying. Yeah.
It's tough, you know, but that's why conversations like these are difficult but needed
right.
to see, you know, it may spark in you that's what you want
yeah,
to do.
Exactly.
Could spark that in T. Could spark it in me. Who knows?
Who knows?
You know, could spark it in someone that's listening to this show. You know what? You know what? We don't have those leaders anymore. I could be that leader.
Right.
I'm going to do it. And that in itself spark change.
See, what's your feedback?
One thing we do know, and I think I'm confident in saying this. I don't know if anybody would agree or not, but we do know people are prone to follow. We do know that. All it takes is somebody who look at how we got from wearing clothes that fit to wearing clothes that was baggy and sagging to now wearing clothes that's too tight. Those are movements within themselves. Somebody initiated
mm-hmm.
and the masses followed. Why? Because somebody started it. I don't care. I really do believe. I don't care what you step out and do, whether it be positive, negative, good, bad, whatever. You will find somebody to follow you.
Yeah.
And whatever it
yeah,
is you want to do, you will find a follower. As long as you believe in what it is you stepping out to do, somebody gonna follow you.
Now, I totally agree. Again, with you, bro.
Sorry, I got overhead doors going on. And when it comes to something on this scope and something of this magnitude, I'm gonna call it what it is. The fear sets in. The mm-hmm. accountability and responsibility that comes along with accepting a task like, I can't do that. Why can't I? If I understand the need, I understand that I can be impactful and I'm willing to do it, why can't I? That's the question of the hour.
And that's it's the best question ever. And that's the same question, I think. I can't speak for anyone outside of us three, but I think being that you posed it, you asking yourself that, I'm asking myself that, and I think Bone is too. I mean, I can't speak for Bone, but I'm pretty sure I might be a little bit in the ballpark. I think now with this conversation, understanding of what we went through as far as breaking it down from our point of view, I think now we look at it and we say to ourselves, okay, why can't I? Why am I not doing it? There's nothing stopping me. I understand the whole undertaking. You know what I mean? It's different if you don't know.
Right.
But we know now to a point where we've been able to break it down to our own understanding from our own point of view. I mean, granted, it's not saying this is the way to do it. This is the way we undertook it.
So the and question, that's another thing is, that comes up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chief. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, like, how did Dr. King know his way was the right way? How did Malcolm X know this is the right way to do this? How did anybody who stepped out and said, I'm going to make a difference, how did they know this is the correct way to go about it? I'm inclined to believe they didn't. They just went along with their belief. I know this needs change. This is the only suggestion I have. So I'm willing to try it. If I fail, I fail trying.
I agree again. I totally agree. And I think that shows you, and that's why we can place all these individuals we say with a direct correlation to God or some higher being. Because to have that kind of confidence and that kind of faith in what you're doing, it has to be something driving. It has to be. It has to be. And I mean, I'm going to give the credit where I feel it should go. Everybody may not agree, but I will give it to God because for it to be successful and for their impacts to linger years and years and years later that we have in an honest conversation. And if we pay attention, everything they said then is still relevant today. So that means the process has never stopped. Like you say, Bone, yeah, they didn't change the tactic, but the same scenario is different scenarios are playing out, but the same mission is being laid.
Right.
They're trying to get us to the same point. And it's not just, when I say us, I'm not just talking about black individuals or certain culture. No, I'm talking about period. This is on the basis of me saying understanding the connection with God. Not so much the breaking down of, the only way you can break something down is to take it away from God anyway. Because if we all under the umbrella of God, we all understand we need to work together. So anything they're doing, and when I say they, it's not white people, it's not black people, it's someone who I don't want to be judgmental, but it has to be an entity in place to go against the good in society or man, period. And when I say man, I'm using a general term, but I mean the whole mankind, women, men, kids, everything.
Like T say all the time, for there to be a good, there has to be an evil.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what we're talking about is the good fight, as they say sometimes, the good fight. So even within the good fight, you're going to have that evil confrontation or evil interaction with the opposing party, because that's all they know.
Yeah.
That's all they've ever done. That's what this country, unfortunately, it was built off of, you know, and a lot of times it was in the name of God.
Right, exactly. Misused. Yep.
Misguided. You know what I'm saying? So, that's my word again. So, I mean, yes, God must be a part of it. He must be the foundation in order for it to be long-lasting, successful. You know, God has to be involved. God has to be in it. And that's why I continue to say, are we in a time of where we need change and where we need something different? Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do it the right way. We have to yield the right weapons in order to combat what is coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw a scenario out here at you fellas, man. You know how I talk. It's me. Now, this is not, it's going to seem negative in the beginning, but this is all about perspective. You take somebody who is unemployed, right, who has a family.
Right.
Let's say you take a man who's unemployed, who has kids that he needs to feed. He doesn't have a job. Now, he may take a misguided, I'm going to steal your word, BJ, he may take a misguided approach and feel, I'm going to do this by selling dope, okay? You start selling dope, you get caught, you go to jail, you serve a couple years in prison, you get out, and you say, okay, I don't know about that route. Now I'm going to try to rob a bank. You try to rob the bank, you get caught, you go to prison, you get out. You say, okay, the dope ain't work. Selling dope ain't work. Robbing the bank ain't work. Maybe I just rob people. You try that. You know what I'm saying? You get caught, you go to prison, you get out. You still ain't got a job. But at the end of the day, where I'm going with this is, the feeding of your kids is what is driving you to try all these what we would call stupid approaches to completing your mission. At the end of the day, you are focused on your mission. I may not agree with any of the methods you took, but I can learn something from the determination. People who tend to do the wrong thing, they are determined to do the wrong thing. Why can't we learn from that? I may not know how to complete or how to go about doing the right thing, but why can't I continue to try different methods? 9 times out of 10, if we try one thing and it fail, we quit. Or we face opposition, we quit. Well, I knew I shouldn't have did that anyway. Or it ain't worth it. Or I'm out here doing this and ain't nobody this and ain't nobody. No, stay focused on your mission. Stay focused on the purpose. If you can stay focused on the purpose, I can go about different methods. I can try 5, 6, 10 different methods as long as I'm focused on the purpose. Again, I don't know if that made sense. I hope so.
No, it made sense. It made sense. I followed you. I understand what you're saying. I take total from what you're saying that the person that is in that situation, at the end of the day, his mission is the same as the person that's doing it the right way to take care of their kid. Now, like you say, bone word, they may be misguided, but they got the undertaking of the mission, and that is important.
I think what it sounded like was a question of how do we get away from that? I posed this question in response to your question: is how did we get there in the first place? Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think within that, we find our answer of how we get out of it.
Yeah.
I think the reason a person that you, like you described, would take that particular route is because either they find it just to be the easiest route to take, or they don't know that they have any other option. You know, so why is that? Why would somebody put themselves in that position unless they felt like they had no other reason or no other means of taking care of your family from behind bars? But for them, it was, you know, a risk that they would take.
Hey,
you know, why not, like you said, T, take that risk on a job, you know? The same risk, even less, I would say. Go for a job that you know it ain't no way in hell you're going to get. You don't have the qualifications. You don't have the education that it requires. You don't have it, but you believe in yourself enough.
Mm-hmm.
The same belief that you had that you could stand on that corner and sell them on them rocks and slabs mm-hmm. and take care of your family. The same belief you had in yourself that you could do that. Take that same belief into somebody's office and ask for a job with that same confidence mm-hmm. and belief. A job that you don't even qualify for, I guarantee that your chances of getting that job is good. Because
mm-hmm.
those people, because people like you that have that drive, that initiative, those type of people are successful in business. They become millionaires. Those are those people that you see started with nothing and started their own family, and now they're millionaires taking care of everybody.
Those people initiate movements. Them other people that initiate the movement.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they have that drive and understanding. Yes, like T pointed out, it may be misguided. But once, and you have to, like you say, Bone, you have to go back to the root of it and try to figure out how did we get here. And in figuring out how we got here, you may understand that, okay, that's where we need to change it. Which I think still goes back to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you catch it there, you start moving from there. Now you put out these people who come out instead of wanting to sell drugs and thinking like this is my only way out. Take in the fact that I can go get a job because I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
I can go to college.
Yeah, I can do that. There's nothing stopping me from doing nothing.
Yeah, I stayed up all night long on the corner.
Right.
Selling dope. I can't stay up all night long and read a book. And
ain't nobody shooting at me.
You know what I'm saying? My life is not at risk.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about somebody stealing me or trying to swindle me or, you know, and trick me out of my money or, you know, not care about my life. I can put forth the same thing that I put there into my education and bettering myself. Man, that would change everything.
It would change everything. It's the movement. It's the movement in itself.
So I guess what we're saying in this moment is anybody can initiate a movement as long as you believe in yourself.
Right, right. And I understand that now more than I probably did coming into the conversation just by us breaking down the whole understanding from our point of view. I get that. I get that. It's beauty in that. Because I think we always want to label a movement as this big, spectacular thing, and a small movement may be more greater than the movements we see from a distance that we think are so huge.
Well, I think for me, to sum it up, we're running short on time. We got about 4 minutes. For me, my movement starts in my household. My movement begins with my children and raising good-hearted, decent people and giving them options, letting them know that they have options, even more so than I had. Think of, you know, my parents looked at me and thought I had all the options in the world. I could
mm-hmm.
be anything.
Yep.
Stand in those shoes now and look at your children and realize we have a black president and that
mm-hmm.
they are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
They are seeing these black people of power, and I can be anything.
Yeah.
Why would I want to choose that?
Yeah.
That has so much negative in it. While it might be cool at the moment, but it has so much negativity
yeah.
in it. Why would I choose that when I can do anything I want to do? That, for me, is the movement.
Going out. Hey, D, what you got for us, man?
Well, I can't say at this moment. I probably can give you a good idea of what I believe, but I don't want to do that. At this point, the first step in my movement, I'm back to the process. Whatever the movement is that Corey's name is written on, just believe that you were chosen for that movement and believe in yourself. I think from that point, chips will fall into place. I go back to the show. Once I understood, accepted, now it did require some action for me, but just getting to the point where you believe that there is nothing too big for you to tackle. Nothing.
Yeah.
That's me, personally.
I agree with T, and I agree with Bone also. And I say this real short and sweet. I think movement actually... it's put in place in this form, and this is just my personal opinion. I think it starts within you, then you start to exemplify it with those around you, and then you see a movement transpire. But like T said, and like Bowen pointed out, you have to believe yourself for anybody else to believe. With that being said, lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys and units, T-O-A-B.
O-A-B, out.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. The Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Although you're superior over me, we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Baptized birth into Richmond, where the ghosts of childhood haunt me. Walk the road my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. Some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Take me to
Tennessee.